We're continuing our series on prayer, and let's turn to our foundation text of Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, yes. yep, my bad. Yeah, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and beginning with the 5th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Look at verse 5. And it reads, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. Why? Because your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And what he's saying, and you're asking over and over again with many words, is not going to suddenly inform him or move him into giving you what you want. I know what you need before you even ask the first thing. So don't waste your time with all much speaking. Sometimes we think, you know, especially in charismatic circles, that we get a formula. There's a certain way of saying things that we're going to get God to do what we want him to do. No. So don't even be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Let's pray at this time. Father, thank you for this congregation, this family, Word of Life. I pray, Father, that you will renew our strength, focus our attention, and ready our hearts to receive with meekness, with gentleness, the implanted word which is able to save our souls. I pray that you would open our eyes this evening, that we may behold wondrous, wonderful things from your word, and then give us understanding. And with that understanding, we will keep and constantly, consistently, and continuously obey your word and observe it with our whole heart. I ask that you grant unto me physical strength and spiritual energy to speak your word with faithfulness and clarity and liberty. I ask you to guide my thoughts and guard my heart, and govern my words, so that everything I say will be consistent with sound doctrine. And as a seed, the word of God is planted in water, we know that only you can give the increase. As a result of that, we reserve for you then the highest praise. And we give you the full credit for the fruit that shall come from the word at this time. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen. Prayer again is personal, intimate communion with God. Prayer is discourse, conversation, a dialogue, two-way communication, discussion with our personal Heavenly Father. And it is God himself and not some sort of emissary or ambassador. And we thank you for that, Father, for allowing us to access you. And the purpose of prayer, why God has given us this access to him, to come before him, to request of him, to petition him, is not for us. Although I mentioned that our request, our petition, but it's not for us. It's to glorify himself, to worship him, to acknowledge him in Jesus' name. Having said that, we've been talking about prayers for Word of Life, in particular that we would gain a greater love and craving and desire and a thirst for God and his word. And we spoke about last week, the reason for that is so that we may grow into salvation, if you will, or into greater sanctification. Growing. We said that a spiritually healthy Christian is a growing Christian. Amen. That we may grow. And remember, that's really in the passive tense in the Greek, the word grow, really so that the word may grow us. It's the word acting on us. And so when something is happening to you, that's passive. And so we need to get the word so that the word can grow us. So that's so important. I call it the big three of Joshua 1 and 8, that we speak the word, that we meditate the word day and night, and that we observe to do everything in the word. And then and only then, after those three conditions are met, then and only then will we make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. We'll deal wisely in all the affairs of life. And so the way we position ourselves for the word to grow us is that we hear that word, receive it, meditate it, and obey it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Remember again, by way of reminder, the word is the only entity that exists in the entire universe that can grow us spiritually. Mm-hmm. There are no substitutions and there are no exceptions. It's never the word plus something else. It's always the word only. Mm-hmm. Spiritual healing, healthy Christian, rather, is a growing Christian. Remember, by way of review, we went over Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But verse 17, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from or by faith to faith. So it is revealed from, it starts with faith and ends in faith, or through faith from beginning to end. Faith is needed throughout the entire situation. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Having said, that's our review. We're still talking about growing, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We stopped here last week, so we'll start here. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, I think verse 14 talks about lying not one to another, but rather, instead of lying, speak the truth. How in love? We ought to grow up. That's what we want to see. Grow up. We ought to grow up in every way into him, Christ Jesus, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, the body of Christ, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, in other words, the proper working of the body, operates smoothly, if you will, when every joint is doing their part. So there are no sideliners, if you will. Everybody's in the game. Think about a football or basketball or soccer. There's nobody on the bench. Everybody's in the game. Every bone, every muscle, every sinew, every nerve. Because we need everybody so that we can operate properly. Verse 16 again, from whom, Christ Jesus is the whom, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. You see that? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We grow when we're functioning properly, just like a physical body grows when each part of the body is functioning properly. When you get any gland or muscle or nerve, a knee, any joint not working properly, it's going to affect the entire body. Affect the entire body. A healthy Christian is a growing Christian. A healthy body is a growing body. We are to be growing. In other words, maturing into Christ-likeness. Think of Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Before we go there, I keep forgetting to go back to the second foundation text, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there first. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to keep that second foundation text in your memory as well. Because this is the prayer, one of the prayers that we pray for Word of Life. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Peter. Therefore, as a result of being saved, verse 22 of chapter 1, and being born again with the eternal everlasting word, as a result, then being a new creature, new creation, put aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisies and envies and all slanders, like newborn babies, long for, thirst for, crave the pure, unadulterated milk of the word, so that by it, the word, you may grow in respect for salvation. In other words, progress in sanctification. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So verse 2 is what we're focusing on. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Why? So that by it, you may grow in sanctification. That's where we're focusing on. Growth. Amen. Growth. Growth. It's a problem when you're around a Christian and they are around for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and you see very little advancement and progress in the life of sanctification. Remember, sanctification is a moving away from the things of the world and moving closer to God. So therefore, your lifestyle ought to project a more holy, set apart, separated life, action, behavior, lifestyle in front of everyone. And if there isn't progressive sanctification happening, a progressive move toward Christ-likeness, then we really need to examine ourselves and ask, Lord, are we really in the faith or not? He said, let us check ourselves to see if we're really there. Or are we just assuming? Because we don't want to be like the Pharisees, who were absolutely convinced that they were members of the kingdom of God. But when Jesus came and exposed the flaws in their theology, they wanted to kill him. And eventually they did. Not directly, because they weren't allowed to crucify because they were the Jews. Only the Romans could. So they handed them over to the Romans. These supposedly mighty men of God were filled with so much venom that when the true man of God showed up, all they could do was find ways to kill him. And these folks who thought they were saved all these decades and centuries, most were not saved at all. Amen. So we should be growing, progressing into sanctification. Let's look at the Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Thank you, Father. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now that's a lot of pressure. We read too fast. Let's slow it down. We're to walk. Walk means lifestyle. Lifestyle is made up of three components. What you think on a daily basis, what you speak on a daily basis, and how you act on a daily basis. What you speak and how you act is influenced by what you think. What you speak and what you act is influenced by what you think. That's why the word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, we quote that verse quite a bit, and we generally have the general gist of it. But what we tend to miss is what's spoken before that. And the word of God says that when you go to my man's house to eat, and he says, eat up, go ahead and get your grub on. The next part of the verse says, but his heart is not with you. Then the part comes, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not what he's saying out loud in front of you. Not what the persona he's presenting to you externally. The word of God says, no, it's what he's thinking in his heart. That's who he really is. Does that make sense? Not external. He said, eat up. He's looking agreeable. Everything looks good. Okay, I'm going to eat. Because that's what he's saying. That's what he's projecting, a real positive, come on and get it. But in his heart, he's really not feeling it. And the word of God is saying, no, not what he is outside, but as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Does that make sense? That's who he really is. That's why we have to recognize that our walk begins with the heart and mind. Remember, to the Jews, the heart was included the mind, the will, the emotion, all of that. It starts in the heart. That's why Jesus kept telling those Pharisees, you say externally, if I don't adulterate, that's not a word, with another woman, I'm good. But I say unto you, if inwardly you lust after her, you've committed adultery where? Already where? Heart. The heart. You say don't murder. I'm good. I ain't killed nobody or killed nobody. But he's saying, nope. If you are angry enough to kill, that's what God judges. So when he says to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, woo-wee. Our walk, our lifestyle, made up of our thoughts, our words, and our actions on a daily basis that you do as a force of habit, as a lifestyle, is never, for the most part, worthy of the Lord. But we're pressing toward that. See why growth is needed? He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully, are you serious, Lord? Pleasing to you, fully pleasing, how about just pleasing you? But fully pleasing to you. Wow. Bearing fruit in every. Why not just bearing fruit as best you can? But he said in every good work. And then adds, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you see why growth is so much needed? This is progressive, and you really need, look, you got to be honest with yourself. If you are saved, if you're born again, you possess God, the Holy Spirit, right? He lives inside of you to the point that he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the Holy Spirit has taken up permanent residence in you as a believer. You got me? Listen to him. To see if he's telling you, you know, you really slacking in your walk with the Lord. You're distracted. You got all these, well, you may not have a whole lot of sins. You got that too. But you also got weights that are just entangling you. They are cumbersome. They're in the way. He's telling you that. And he's telling you, Your growth is not happening. You are your own worst enemy. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. You need to listen to that voice. And be honest. And say, you know what? I ain't made much progress in such and such a amount of time. What's going on? And if you really ask that question, if you're really asking that question for real, you're going to get an answer. Are we praying for Calex and this and that and cars and houses and all this money, all that? Pray, Lord, help me to grow. Help me to recognize my stagnation. Don't expose it. And when he does, receive it, accept it, and then eventually act on it. Because he'll tell you what to get rid of. He'll tell you what weights you need to let go of because they're weighing you down. He'll tell you what sins you need to holler at. And he'll do it progressively. Thank God he's merciful. Yes. He's the greatest life coach in the history of all the world. I thought to say it didn't cost you anything. No, it didn't cost us anything. But it cost Jesus everything. Amen. He paid it all. So that we would have this permanent life coach who's available at all times. Did he not coach you through mom? Did he not coach you on the airplane situation? Yeah. He coaches you through death of loved ones. Yeah. He's a great coach. Yeah. And not only does he just coach you, he's whatever he tells you to do, he then strengthens you to do it. See, somebody, a human being can just kind of coach you and kind of tell you things, but they can't strengthen you. They can inform you, but they can't empower you. This God we serve, this coach that we have, is more than just rah, rah, sis, boom, bah.
Thank you, Lord.
He's telling you what to do and then strengthens you to do it.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you.
Woo-wee. And then, though, here's where this is the sweet spot. And then we obey. When he informs us of what we need to do or not do, we obey that information. To remember the big three in Joshua 1 and 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So you're speaking that word. Second, you meditate upon it day and night. Third, to observe, to do according to everything in the law. Then, see the then, meaning there's some prerequisites that have to be met. Then when you meet those prerequisites, this is definitely going to happen. You'll make your way prosperous in every area, and then you'll deal wise in the Hebrew and all the affairs of life. Wow. Wisdom comes through obedience. Prosperity comes to obedience. There is a prosperity gospel. It's just been butchered. It's been perverted. God, he is the God of prosperity. What do you think David and all is? Solomon and all is? Job and all is? He is the God of prosperity. It's that when it's taught incorrectly, when it's taught in a perverted fashion, then we begin to seek the hand of God. What he can do for me, but we don't want God. And that's the danger in it. I want what I can get from him, but I don't want him. And as a child of God, that's never to be our. In fact, I would question your child as being a child, because if God has saved you, you're going to love God. So we want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer. What a prayer. Well, that just way, way, way above. We can't do that. You're right, you cannot. Not in your own strength. But if this is the prayer that the Holy Spirit moved on the Apostle Paul to pray for the saints in the city of Colossae, then that prayer is for us today here in Garden City. God wants us to live our lifestyle in a manner worthy of the Lord. What do you mean by that? Of being called a child of God, of being a slave to the master, the Lord, worthy of that. Other than that, sometime I wish some of these Christians would just be quiet. Don't let nobody know that you don't say that. Look how you living. I don't want you to tell nobody. Because you're going to bring more harm than you're going to do more harm than good. Titus says that the younger women ought to teach the older women ought to teach the younger women how to live. Treat their husbands well, be husband lovers and keepers at home and attentive to children, take care of the household, so that the word of God will not be evil spoken of. Your lifestyle, my lifestyle, can be so foul that it will cause the word of God to be blasphemed, to be discredited, to be evil spoken of, all because I'm living foul. That's serious. That's so serious. I know everyone in here know a family member who don't want nothing to do with the things of God. And the reason they tell you, because you know, girl, you know, cousin so-and-so, he said he called himself a Christian. And he you know, he had 10 girls. And you know, sister so-and-so and brother, they're going to talk about the sins and foul lifestyles of other people. They don't know to look for Jesus. They don't know they don't know how to go past that. And I know why they struggle, because we're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. We're here in Christ's stead. So instead of Christ Jesus being here on earth, we're here as his representative. So they're supposed to see Jesus in us. But instead they're seeing Satan. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. You know, God is not well pleased. From the pastors down to the last member of the back pew, he wants all of us to walk, to live as a force of habit in a manner worthy of belonging to God, worthy of the Lord that he is to us, worthy of that, and not call him Lord in just title only. That's why Jesus said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You doubling up on it. Yep, you sounding holy, but you're hung up with the title. But there's nothing, there's no meat to it, because you're not obeying me. Because the Lord is supposed to be obeyed.
That's right.
Lord means master. Master means you're the slave. You calling him master, that means I'm your slave. Well, how can that be? And you're not obeying nothing that I'm telling you. So he asked him, why?
Yes.
Are you even calling me Lord, Lord? You've turned that into a title only. Mm-hmm. Not a position over your life. Just a title. Mm-hmm. If you were obedient, then you calling me Lord, Lord would be right on point.
That's right.
Because you are obeying me, but you're not. And what he was telling was, stop calling me that. And just like a lot of Christians today, oh, we know how to look out outwardly. Oh, look good. We lift our hand, know when to lift it. Know how to say hallelujah in a certain way. Hallelujah. Did you catch the loo?
Yes.
See, yeah, you got to hang on to that loo a little bit, especially in the black church.
Right.
Hallelujah. Ooh, they say. Listen how they say hallelujah. That's all. Pray for me, Tim. Y'all know we don't know people like that. Sound good? No, they're the biggest devil out there. Let that not be named among us, not one time. The Lord is telling us right now, examine yourself by the Holy Ghost, not with your own microscope. Matter of fact, we don't use microscopes when we examine us, we use telescopes. We want the far end. Yep, look good enough for me. Yep. They bring a microscope near, we are absolutely allergic to microscopes because it examines closely. That's how the Holy Spirit examines. Let the Holy Spirit, and when you symbolically get on your knees, off in real, and say, Holy Spirit, examine me. Let him do it. Surrender to him. And whatever your findings are, remove it out of me. Take it out of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Make me over. Make me over again. Fully pleasing. Fully pleasing. I mean, it's just a hard prayer. Worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing. Bearing fruit in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. You're growing and increasing and growing and increasing. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. You're getting ready to close. 1 Timothy 4. Now, this is for pastors in particular, but you always know what we say behind that one. You should never think, well, I ain't no pastor. I ain't got to worry about that. No. It's for you too. Amen? It's for you too. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. This is Paul, his first letter to the young pastor Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. He tells them in verse 11, prescribe and teach these things. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Look at that. 13, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which is bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Absorb yourself in these things. What? These things. Right? Verse 11 again. Prescribe and teach these things. Prescribe and teach. Verse 12. Show yourself an example. Verse 13. Give attention to public reading, to exhortation and teaching. Verse 14. Don't neglect the spiritual gift. Those things you are to take pains with, to take careful. Pay careful, close attention to. So much so, verse 15, that you're to be absorbed in them. Here it is, so that your progress will be evident to everybody. It should be that obvious that you are a child of God. Are y'all reading this? It shouldn't be any wondering. It shouldn't be any, well, I think they're a Christian, but girl, I ain't sure. I'm going to read that again, verse 15 from the Amplified. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly, W-H-O-L-L, wholly into them, completely into them, them being the ministry. Why? So that, here's the purpose, your progress may be evident to everybody. Let's just pause and calmly think about that. You mean to tell me that my walk with the Lord ought to be so clear that it is to be easily seen by any and everyone who comes into your sphere of influence or your circumference of your life? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Brother and sister. It's exactly what it's saying. Oh, man, that's a lot, man. I ain't nowhere near that. Well, that there you go. You need to aim and work harder. You know, sports is a good metaphor for the Christian walk. You know, when a person is doing decent in a particular area in sport, what they go, especially those who are really committed, they work harder. They want to get better. They're not satisfied with getting a victory in this or that. The good ones, the true, genuine folks, they work harder. Well, the true, real, genuine Christian, they'll work harder. They're not satisfied nor content with where they are. Yes, there have been some gains made. Well, we got to recognize, hey, I can meditate the word more. I can speak the word more. I can definitely do the word more. I can renew my mind more. I can be conformed less to the world.
Amen.
I can love the world less. Love not the world, neither what I'm loving is so, but let's love it less. Neither the things that are in the world. Because, Father, I want my progress to be evident to everybody.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What's your good works? That lifestyle, and that lifestyle that, as we saw in Colossians, is a lifestyle that is mannerable and worthy of the Lord. Does that, can you see the connection there? It's all connected. Growth, 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 progress, clear progress, clear, undeniable progress. Here's that irrefragable, Trent Dwayne. Irrefutable. Your progress ought to be irrefragable, irreputable, completely evident to everyone. There should never be any question as to whether or not you are a Christian. You ought to be, what's how the MacArthur put that? Uncompromisingly righteous. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Talking about growth, right? Talking about growth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Talking about growth. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. My Trent Dwayne is shaking his head in the back and forth. Why? Because there was an expectation from the writer of Hebrews, as moved on by the Holy Spirit, that these saints ought to be here, spiritually speaking. I'm going to use some grade. They ought to be in the fifth grade, but they're still in the second grade. How many times have you been held back? How many grades have we flunked? This is not a good report on the saints of God. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, what is that telling you? We're expecting you that this was enough time, that you've been around it enough, that we thought you ought to be a teacher now, teaching other people how to walk this thing out. He said, instead, you have need again for somebody to teach you. And teach you what? The elementary, the basic principles. And you need milk and not meat, solid food. We can't give you no steak. We can barely give you some eggs. Got to pour a little milk in there. We'll mix a little chocolate with it, or you ain't going to drink it. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Immature, that word means. The word infant means immature. You're immature spiritually. Things that bothered you when you were first coming to Christ 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they are still bothering you today. No progress. You whining, crying. Just all out the box because you got a hangnail. Oh, man, I thought something was really wrong. Yeah, man, my nail is hanging. Dude, that's what you called me over here for at 3 in the morning? We're making it comical, but that's really what's happening. That's still bothering you? Where's the growth that is to be evident, irrefragably speaking, before everybody? Verse 14. Verse 13 again. For everyone who partakes of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant, he's immature. But solid food, solid meat, steaks, is for the mature, who because of patience have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I'm sorry, not patience, practice. I'm sorry. Thank you. I butchered that word. No, no. Who through practice, what does practice imply? Something that's done over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You mean the word of God is like playing a sport? I never played sports. I don't know. You're not going to get an excuse for that. You're going to get off like that. Yes, you got to practice over and over. You must be intentional about your walk with the Lord. That's why Hebrews said, let us lay aside weights and the sin. Weights that are cumbersome and the sin that does so easily throw us off our course that God has laid out for our lives. And then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I talked to my nephew a couple weeks ago, and I might have been talking to Trent too. No, weights are not sins, the weight and the sin. So weight is not a sin, but what's tricky about weights is that we'll say, well, it ain't a sin. But the Holy Spirit letting you, yeah, but it is an interruption and an interference, and it's slowing your progress in the things of God. So you got to hear that. Don't just get stuck on what it ain't a sin. It's not a sin to run a race in a long, full-length trench coat. It's not a sin to run a race in a trench coat. But that long trench coat is definitely going to slow your progress. And if you want to run, using that metaphor, in order to run the race more efficiently, you must lay aside that trench coat. So what trench coats do you have in your life that's slowing your progress in towards Christ-likeness? That's what we need to examine. Food, TV, internet, friends, a certain pattern of thinking, all of that could be trench coats. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained. You're just not going to discern between good and evil like that. It's through practice. See, when you don't practice and your senses aren't trained to discern what's good and evil, then what you're doing is you can dwell on things that are evil but don't recognize it because you haven't had senses trained. We'll get up in arms about things that we should not even be up in arms about. But our senses are dulled because we aren't practicing like we should. What do you mean? Speaking the word, meditating the word, and oh, man, you back to that again? Yep, it's at the foundation of everything. Amen. Obedience. Thy word have I hid in your heart that I may not sin against you. Trench coats stop us from hiding his word in our hearts, storing it up, depositing it. How do you deposit the word? Hear it, receive it, love it, and obey it. And meditate on it. That's how you deposit it in your heart. Going down to chapter 6, verse 1. Solid food again, verse 14, is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Verse, therefore, as a result of that, leaving the elementary thing, teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity. You see that? Can you see progress, growth, maturity, process? Can you see all of that? No stagnation is in any of that. It's process, progress, growth, maturity. Healthy Christian, spiritually speaking, is a growing Christian, spiritually speaking. Father God, help us to grow. Help us to walk. To order our lifestyle in thought, in word, and in deed, according to your word, as a force of habit. Let that be in a manner worthy of you, Father. Help us to fully please you. Help us to bear fruit in every good word. And increase in the knowledge of you, Father. Help us to take great pains in these things. Help us to practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties that you've commanded us. Help us to throw ourselves completely and wholly into them, our walk with you, so that our progress will be evident to everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.